to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of August 18th through August 24th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as many tarot products and events. Alright guys, so this week should be a little bit easier and less drama filled. We have now officially cleared the Merc retro shadow period last Thursday, the 15th, and Jupiter is back heading direct in Sagittarius, which I'm selfishly very happy about. We had the full moon in Aquarius on the 15th as well, and remain in a waning moon period until the new moon in Virgo coming up the morning of Friday, August 30th. So basically, it's a good time between now and the new moon to work on giving gratitude to what we received this past month and what's working. And, you know, thank you to that. Thank you to the things that we manifested, that the universe brought into us, and, you know, allowing ourselves to release anything that isn't serving us, that isn't working, kind of letting that go between now and the new moon. So when we go back to the cards for August, we have the Strength card reminding us to work with that confident Leo energy of August in order to kind of calmly allow what we are seeking to come to us, to allow things to magnetize versus going out and getting them. We also have a visit from the Chariot, who's kind of on the flip side of this. We hung out with the Chariot all through the month of July, and the Chariot's a victorious card as well, and it often does bring in something that we're seeking, but this can be a bit more of an aggressive energy than the Strength card. But I think that they're a good balance because Strength and the Chariot combined kind of ask us to balance the desire to chase and with the ability to magnetize and calmly attract into us. So let's take a look at the card of the week. Two of Wands. Okay, love these girls. In the traditional Smith Rider Waite, it's a guy, but in my deck, of course, it's the Wonderless Girls. But in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this card shows a guy in this fancy red cape and hat, and he's holding a wand in one hand and a globe in the other hand, standing on the edge of a riverbank, kind of looking off into the horizon. It seems like he's kind of deciding if he's about to leave the safety of the side of the land he's on, the safety of his kingdom, to go off into the unknown. But the unknown could obviously result in even greater rewards and bigger payoffs. But there's an uncertain element of taking that risk. So astrologically, this is the planet of action-oriented Mars in the fiery initiating constellation of Aries, meaning that it's a card of strong and impactful progress. Of, you know, Aries are the go-getters of the zodiacs. They're the initiators. And Mars is that kind of fiery, it's known for being the god of war, but it's also like results-driven. So those two are really, really powerful together. So this is a week of getting shit done, more or less. And the Badass Bitches Tarot, as I said, this is the Wonderless Girls, aka Emily Bache and Abigail Breslin. And I made them this card because they had a big Two of Wands moment when they took the road less traveled and moving their headquarters from New York City to Nashville. And it was a big risk, but it definitely paid off both in their professional and personal lives. Two of Wands kind of follows that spark of inspiration initiated in the Ace of Wands. And it's funny that last week we had the Page of Wands reversed, being that we may start to experience a sign or inspiration in Page of Wands, but the reversal showing us that we may still be kind of piecing together how to move forward and what that means and what that might look like. Two of Wands is this kind of planning phase. It's the next step from that spark of inspiration. It also often asks us to leave behind familiar grounds to move into something less certain, but that will be a bigger payoff, that will be more aligned with where we stand today. I often refer to this as the road less traveled card or the take the bigger risk when presented card. And it can be tempting to remain in the comfort of what we know. Even if what we know is miserable or chaotic, we can tend to prefer that the comfort of the, you know, it's why the saying, the devil we know versus the devil we don't. I'm like, but I know this misery. I've lived through it. I know I can stand it. But Two of Wands is a little bit of that leap of faith. If you know that something bigger and better is out there, this week is a great time to take those steps forward and away from what we may have outgrown. A lot of times when we step into Two of Wands energy, the universe will want to make really certain that we're ready. People or situations from the past that you've already closed doors to may pop up again, or you may even just feel their energy connecting with and kind of tapping on your own. And this can cause you to feel curious about contacting them. Of like, oh, are they on my mind for a reason? Should I reach out? If you experience this energy this week and really ask yourself how you felt in the relationship or situation and how you honestly really intuitively think you would feel going backwards to that door, just kind of sit in that before you go backwards. Chances are, this is a Two of Wands asking you, are you really, really sure? Are you sure you're ready to make this big leap and to evolve and to move forward? Because it's going to require some trust and bravery. But like all great journeys, a big reward is waiting on the other side. I love this card. It's kind of like the leap and the net will appear card. And I get excited when I see it because I know that if it's in a reading for me or for a client, the good things are around the corner. And it's just kind of having the intuition and confidence to move forward rather than stay or move backwards. All right, so we are in, this episode is all about Ask Cardi B for August. I'm going to go through some of the top questions I got in email and through Instagram DMs. The first one was relating to, because we talked a lot about the Lionsgate portal last week, so the first question is relating to that. Hey Cardi, how are you? I love that you incorporate astrology into your tarot podcast so seamlessly. I've been learning a lot through that. I know that you and a lot of other healers spoke about Lionsgate portal that occurred last week. I often feel really connected and affected by astrological movements, especially when they're broken down and explained to me, but I've never felt any energetic ties from Lionsgate portal or the Star of Sirius in general. Do you know why this resonates so strongly with some people and not at all with others? Is this a bad thing that I don't connect to it? Sydney in Clearwater, Florida. Okay, thanks, Sydney. This is an awesome question, and I'm about to get a little esoteric on you guys to answer this. So if you follow the whole multiverse theory of inhabitants of many star systems, not just our own, you know, system of humans on planet Earth, there are several starseed systems such as Palladians, Andromedans, Arcturians, Sirians, and Sirians are what we're talking about from the star Sirius, which is the brightest star in our sky and is part of its own multi-star system. Multi-star systems have more than one sun. So basically Sirius is a really kind of badass complicated system in and of itself. Astrologically, I have always felt the most connected to Sirius, and therefore, for me, the Lionsgate portal is really impactful. But there is no good or bad, like it's not good to connect to this, bad to not, or vice versa. I always liken this to connecting with religion or healing modalities. Personally, for example, Christianity does not resonate with me at all. But I have friends that receive a lot of healing and constructive guidance from that religion. It doesn't mean it's the only way or the right way. It's just one way to connect and receive information if that feels good for you. I have another friend who connects really strongly with Arcturian civilizations, which are said to be derived from a star in the Milky Way. And they're one of the most highly advanced and have been confirmed in tons of channelings. Most famously, the psychic Edgar Cayce, for those of you who know him, was known for channeling Arcturian energy. And my friend who follows them and is connected to Arcturian energy will tell you that they are good and trustworthy, whereas Sirians are shady and not as trustworthy. And to me, saying that is like saying tarot is good, Lenormand cannot be trusted. There are good elements to all of us. There's light and shadow in everything, and it's just finding what resonates with you. I personally find that reading about and listening to all kinds of truths while not pushing my own personal truth onto others has allowed me to always be learning while still maintaining my own kind of inner guidance system. And if I find something from another that clicks with me, then I add that into the mix and try to learn more about it. That being said, it's not good or bad if you don't connect with Sirius or Lionsgate. It's just authentically who you are. So listen to that, trust it, and find whatever constructive information or healing from wherever sources you get it, and just continue to dive into those places that, you know, generate healing and evolution for you. So this question I got through my Instagram DMs for our next question. Hi, Cardi. I wanted to send gratitude your way. Been listening to your podcast and following your Instagram for a while. I naturally picked up tarot and then started studying it in books from others. Honestly, it has made me feel alone because I have to defend it or don't have someone else to discuss it with at all. So I feel less lonely thanks to your podcast and Instagram lives. I'm happy to hear that. Thank you. My best friend asked me for a reading, and it turns out she only asked because her husband made her so he could prove that tarot is BS. She knows how much it means to me and how I feel about it, yet she did this anyway. I haven't read since because I feel so deceived. I could use some advice on this matter. Hey there. So, first of all, I am so, so sorry to hear this, and please don't let this incident discourage you. In the experiences I've had with aggressively resistant people, they're often scared of connecting to cosmic consciousness, to opening doors to something bigger and heightening their intuition, because it opens up so much more than the 3D worlds we have always known. I think it can be easier for some people to believe it's quote-unquote BS than, you know, than not, than open to it, because that way they allow their current world to just remain intact as they know it and don't have to question. And there's no fear of opening up more, connecting to more, and evolving. As I always say, I truly believe that everyone has the ability to work on their intuition, the way that everyone can physically train their body with exercise. But have you ever seen someone who has zero desire to improve their health and body through exercise, and they become highly triggered by someone in immaculate shape? Like, oh my God, that's BS. They must be on steroids, or they probably never eat at all. Because they're saying, I don't think I can do that, so it can't be real. Try not to take this resistance or negativity to your practices as any reflection of your abilities. I have a sibling like this, and while it can be tempting to provide her evidence via Carl Jung's findings, quantum physics studies, or hell, even Oprah's thoughts on energy and intuition, I've learned the best thing is just not engage, but rather continue to work on my own healing and intuitive development. And in going about my life, my authentic happiness and success are a stronger case than any debate. Also, I don't know from this message where you're based geographically, but I would recommend going to tarot meetups or moon circles in your area. You can check, even if it's a really tiny town, check your local metaphysical store. Even the tiny, tiny suburban Pennsylvania town that I grew up in has a great metaphysical store, and they offer courses and workshops, and that's a great place to not only like expand your own practice, but also connect with other people that are in this world and that are doing healing work and looking to deepen their intuition and looking to evolve cosmic consciousness. I hope this is helpful. I'm also sending you a Badass Bitches tarot deck on the house and a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, aka Justice card candle, to help you stand in your power and reinforce those boundaries, because you are magical AF. All right. The next question we have is from Instagram at starseedtarot1986. Why is it always easier to receive messages from another reader you respect than it is to receive it from your own readings? Hashtag truth, starseed. Yes, I totally know what you're talking about. I even do the thing where I repull cards for myself, like shuffle, repull, 2 to 3 times, often getting the same or very similar freaking cards. So I think this phenomenon that most readers experience is an exercise in trusting our own intuition, being able to tune into that frequency so well that you hear it loud and clear. So whether you're doing a reading for yourself and you receive, let's say, 4 of Swords, 8 of Cups, 10 of Swords, that would be what? 4 of Swords, trust your intuition, 8 of Cups, walk away from what's not working, and 10 of Swords, for realsies, girl, let it die. Like, that's a pretty clear reading. Or whether you're just intuitively feeling, this is off, it doesn't feel good, this relationship just isn't working, and I'm getting that, like, in my heart, in my gut, it can be so much easier to trust that from someone else. Whether a reader pulls similar cards to what you just pulled, whether a therapist or guru gives you the advice your intuition was trying to provide you in the first place. I had this recently. So during Lionsgate Portal, a lot came up for me. I think I shared some of it in the last podcast. Just, you know, a lot of emotional things from the past. And I was having this feeling of missing my ex, who I ended things. This was an awesome, I mean, complicated, but loving, amazing person who just didn't work out because she was closeted. But I ended things with her very kindly 2 years ago. But it was a great love, and I think of her often. And intuitively, I was constantly feeling, do not reach out, but was feeling semi-conflicted because of this energy. And that could be her energy tapping on mine, like I talked about with that, you know, kind of 2 of Wands test that we might be experiencing going into this week. But I was feeling this conflict, and, you know, cut to me tuning on the latest video from Phil Good, who I've referenced before, one of my favorite spiritual teachers of all time, talking about how the current energies may bring the desire to reach back out to people we left for a reason. Almost, as I said with Two of Wands, a test of, do you really want to evolve and head towards what is more aligned and magical, but maybe unknown, or do you just want to call it a day and go back to the comfort of what you know? And I was like, oh my God, Phil, preach, you are so right. Like, I was screaming this at my TV, cheersing him with my cup of cacao. But hello, I already heard this from my own head, heart, third eye. But for whatever reason, getting that message through Phil allowed me to hear it loud and clear. I always try to give gratitude when this happens, that the universe is mirroring my own instincts in the external world. Kind of a sign that I'm on the right path and I was tuned into my intuition, but for whatever reason, sometimes we need it to be reinforced elsewhere or a few places before we truly listen to that message. So, you know, it's okay to look for those mirrors. Just don't be too hard on yourself. Try to celebrate how much stronger your intuitive skills are becoming in the process. I hope that's helpful. All right, question number four. I recently lost a card in my deck, and I love this deck. I've had it since I was a kid. It's just a traditional Smith Rider weight, but many memories of me reading are attached to this deck specifically, and all the places it has traveled with me that make it feel irreplaceable. What is your advice on my now 77 card deck? At Emily Carr 77. Oh, that's funny. I think it's funny that there's 77 in your name. I don't know if that's your birthday. It's also interesting. I wonder what the number 7 signifies to you. It's the Chariot. It's victorious energy. It's also like a little bit don't force things. So maybe numerologically, don't force things with the deck. But regardless, that is frustrating, and I'm sorry to hear that. The first thing I would ask is, what card did you lose? In addition to the amount of 7 showing up in your Instagram name, and now that there's 77 cards in the deck, I would look at the numerology of that. I would look at what card was lost. I wonder how you might feel about that card. Is it something that you feel is missing, or something that might have left your life recently? It's definitely worth taking a moment to sit with the energy of the missing card. The second thing I would look at is, I really don't encourage reading without all 78 cards. As non-traditional as I am in a lot of ways, I still take reading very seriously, and I believe that all 78 cards exist for a reason, and reading with less than a full deck can drastically change the alchemy of a reading. I always count my cards after readings for that very reason, especially like after events. If there's back-to-back, I sit there and I count and make sure all 78 are there. So I would look at two options here, which you may have already considered. One being replacing the deck completely. Do you want the same deck? Do you want a completely different one? You can use this time as a big rebirth moment. You could even do a really cool ritual around it. Maybe if you can, if you want to wait, waiting for the new moon in Virgo on August 30th to officially charge them and open them and do your first reading. The second option would be locating the exact same deck, if you love the artwork of that deck and that's really what resonates with you, and replacing just the one card from the new deck you buy into the 77 existing from your, you know, that you've always had. So if you feel a strong connection to the energy in those specific physical cards that you've acquired over the years, that's a way to just maybe put one new card in and kind of, you know, charge the deck. And I would still do a ritual around it, cleanse them with sage, you know, sit them out in the new moon, whatever feels right for you. I would take this as a sign, though, that change is needed in some way. Even maybe do both. Maybe get a copy of the exact same deck and a totally new one, and play with both, sit with both, and see which one feels right with where you are now. It's obviously kind of an up-leveling for you of like, okay, it's a time for change and movement. So it's exciting. I know that can be frustrating, but it's also, it's a little bit of like a shedding of a skin in a way. So I'm excited for you. Hey, Cardsy. Question number 5. Hey, Cardsy, I just started learning to read tarot this year, and I found your podcast and Insta very helpful. I feel like I'm getting a good grasp on the cards and some basic spreads to work with, but sometimes struggle with asking, or rather wording questions in a way to get the clearest answers. Any suggestions from this? Luis in Brooklyn. Thanks, Louise. Thank you so much, and I'm glad you like the podcast. This is a really good question, and I think this is helpful for both reading for yourself and for guiding clients, because I find that like sometimes clients don't know, and they're like, I don't know, and you'll do an overview, but you know that they have questions. It's often love or money, right? Everybody wants abundance and love. So while you can get yes or no questions, it can be trickier, as all cards have both light and shadow, or positive and negative traits, so it can be hard to just decipher a yes and no. For that reason, person, I always find that you get more out of a reading when asking open-ended questions, as tarot cards kind of tell a story more than they give a definite affirmative or negative answer. And like I said, the most common areas I find that people want are love, work and finance, and overall clarity. So, so for examples of overall clarity in a reading, you might ask questions or lead your client to ask questions like, what do I need to know or what do I need to change about myself or the situation? What is the biggest obstacle that's in my way right now? Or what lesson do I need to learn to overcome this challenge or these challenges? Those are kind of guiding questions, right? If you're kind of in a place where there's some confusion, you need clarity, those are kind of opening up, but it gives more specific. So if you ask a question like, what do I need to know for myself about this situation? And you get two of wands, like we had for the weekly card. It's that take the road less traveled here. If you ask, what do I need to learn to overcome my challenges? And you get, let's say, four of swords, it's like, go within, trust yourself. So these questions really help you kind of hone in more specifically on what you're asking. Similarly, for love, which is always I'm doing a big event tonight at Chill House in the East Village, and I know the questions I'm gonna get are always like career, work, money, love, right? For love questions, if people don't know what to ask, I usually guide them towards asking things like, how can I attract a partner that will align with my highest self if you're single? What stands in the way of me finding love if you feel like you're blocked and things are not working? How can I strengthen the relationship between myself and my partner if you're in a relationship that's, challenging? And then similarly, for like financial work questions, what is my biggest obstacle to abundance right now? Like, what is blocking you? What is my attitude towards financial abundance and where does that come from? So that's where you could get maybe the Empress, and you might be amazing at giving out, but you're not so great at receiving. Those are questions that just help kind of guide you more specifically on getting some clarity around those realms. So I hope that's helpful. I always encourage specific and somewhat open-ended questions to more yes or no or highly general questions, but I hope that helps. And thank you guys. Those were some really awesome questions this week. I like when you guys send me questions that are really, good for the cosmic collective and that a lot of people can benefit from. And I think all of these were really helpful to hopefully a lot of you out there. All right. So before we head out, to recap, as always, August is coming in hot, or halfway through, I should say, moving through hot with the Strength card, reminding us to channel our confident inner Leo to gently attract what we're manifesting. And we also have the reappearance of the Chariot, again, a victorious card as well, that often brings in something we desire. But as I said in the intro, combined with Strength, the Chariot appears to ask us to balance that desire to force and chase with the ability to magnetize and attract. And this week we have Two of Wands, which brings in a time that, we may be presented with an opportunity to stay where we are comfortable or expand into the unknown. And Two of Wands often urges us to take that road less traveled, even if it's scary, because the payoffs are way bigger and better. So for Instagram Live, thank you for those of you who tuned in Monday. I'm going to try to keep this at Monday nights at 7:30 in order to offer the weekly overview at the beginning of the week still, and hopefully allow more consistency and timing. So if you haven't tuned in before, the lives are great because you get a chance to ask your own questions for a free live mini reading, and you can also send them through in advance to my website, badasswitchestarot.com, or DM me at CardZB with those questions. Also, my partner Stephanie Wallace and I are so excited to launch our retreat, City Witches Ritual. For those of you who want to practice your magic in luxury, this end of October, October 25th to the 27th for the Scorpio New Moon, this retreat is for you. It includes amazing, gorgeous accommodations in East Hampton on a private beach, a lot of incredible, beautiful outdoor space, kayaks, paddle boards, if it may be too cold to use them, but we're going to be doing a lot of ritual work on the beach that we have there, yoga, breath work, Reiki sessions, tarot readings, cacao ceremonies, magical AF gift bags filled with like $200 worth of amazing goodies, delicious plant-based meals for an incredibly affordable price for the entire weekend. So think Goop and Canyon Wrap ranch luxury vibes for the same price as retreats that are literally held in the middle of the woods in like a bunk bed. So if you book before August, the end of August, you can get $100 off still for listening to this podcast. So by August 31st with the code CityWitchVIP. Hurry up because we've already got about half of our slots full and it's, you know, still over 2 months out. So hurry up and go to badassbitchestarot.com, or if you have any questions, you want to, you know more about the retreat, DM me at CardZB. Thank you guys again, and thank you so much for listening. As always, stay magical AF.